Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, sexual assault, sexual content, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Well, I don't know. I was just sitting here and darn things jumped right out of my head. I'm Andy.
Fear not, child. Here comes Dr. Econo in his magical medical balloon. I'm Kelly.
The only EL epidemic I want to be a part of involves cookies and elves. I'm Adam.
Oh, is it 8 o'clock already? You'll have to excuse me. It's time for my sex demons. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about encephalitis lethargica. So before we get into it, does anyone know what this is?
Encephalitis means...
It sounds like a swelling of the brain that makes you lazy.
Yep.
So, you know, what all those people in Lazy Town have.
Yeah.
Is this that sleeping sickness that happened?
Yes, it is that sleeping sickness that happened.
That sleeping sickness that happened. Is, is this the one that tsetse flies give you?
No, that's another one.
This was in the 20s?
Yes. So, well, we'll get into it, but I was just curious if you guys knew what this was, because I know a lot about this, but I think it's strange, and so I just wanted to see if I was the only one. So, there's one out of three.
It was a plot point in Sandman.
Was that how you knew about it?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get into how I knew about it a little later, but encephalitis comes from Greek en, meaning in, and kephale, meaning head. So encephalitis is a swelling of the brain. So yeah, you got that right.
Of course I did.
Lethargos is Greek for forgetful or inactive. So encephalitis lethargica is when your brain swells up and puts you to sleep. Though when we get into it, we'll find out that sleep is to this disease as silverfish are to real fish.
So exactly the same.
So there isn't a specific phobia of this disease, but hypochondria is the fear of disease, from Greek hypo, meaning under, and chondros, meaning cartilage. I guess originally this meant false ribs. I don't know why that is the root.
Then why don't we call the fear of sharks hypochondria? Because they're the undercartilage.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't getting any clearer.
No. And then somnophobia is the fear of sleep, from Greek somnus, meaning sleep. So hypochondrisomnophobia could be the fear of a sleeping disease.
Could be.
We're going to get into a little bit of the science here before we get to our pop quiz, just because I want you to have a little bit of context for what this is all about.
It won't help.
So the story of this disease as a recognizable phenomenon begins with a man named Constantine von Economo.
Which is nice. A great name.
Von Economo. Yep. Sounds like something like, oh, he opened the stock market.
He's a counting wizard.
He was one of those knight accountants.
So this is a pretty cool guy. He was a baron. He was married to a princess. He spoke several languages fluently, and he was extremely interested in the blossoming field of aeronautics, which made him a prominent hot balloonist at the time.
Had a monocle and a twisty mustache.
Yeah.
Is that the right term for using hot air balloons? A hot balloonist?
Well, he was also sexy.
I was going to say, anybody who can fly a hot air balloon to me is a hot balloonist.
So he received a pilot's diploma, which I guess means that he had a degree in flying. And yeah, he was an avid hot air balloonist for many years.
Move aside, woman. I'm a doctor in balloons.
I'm going to make you a balloon draft, the likes of which you've never seen.
So when he got bored of flying, he decided to turn his attention to medicine and to the other blossoming field, the science of psychology. He became a doctor and started seeing patients while not hot air ballooning, and he worked in Vienna.
Oh, that's disappointing. That's where I want to see my psychiatrist.
Yeah, I want my doctor to fly in on a balloon like the Wizard of Oz.
Almost there. Just a moment. Coming down.
Please, I'm dying.
If the winds guide us to the hospital, it was meant to be.
Whistle credits to the nearest sick person.
So when he was working in Vienna, he took notice of a sudden outbreak of patients who seemed to becoming more and more lethargic. They seemed to fall asleep or become otherwise unresponsive, and many of them slowed down to the point where their hearts stopped and they died.
That's pretty lazy.
Yeah. Dr. Economo did a lot of legwork in analyzing this new disease. He came up with a list of symptoms, described techniques for identification, and even narrowed down the source of the problem by doing autopsies and noticing that certain parts of the brain seemed damaged in victims.
Kruger syndrome.
He correctly guessed that this part of the brain had to do with sleep regulation, and he would be proved right some 40 years later.
I don't think my doctor should be guessing, even if it is correct.
Well, but nobody knew. Like, what could you do?
Yeah. And this is the time of the heroic surgeon.
It's heroic medicine. Yeah.
You know?
The heroically guessing.
So in 1917, he published a paper on his findings, and he called the disease encephalitis lethargica. Interestingly, a Parisian army doctor named Jean-René Cruchet published a paper along the same lines a few weeks before, and he called it Cruchet's disease.
I was going to say.
Knitter's elbow.
I'm surprised that a man during the heroic surgeon's era did not name the disease after himself, and here we are.
So Cruchet was pissed that someone else was trying to steal his thunder, but Economo wasn't in it for the fame.
Obviously.
He took a look at Crochet's work and concluded that some of his patients were probably suffering from EL, but most had wartime maladies, which would later be called PTSD, and they shouldn't be grouped together. The scientific community agreed, Economo's name stuck, and Crochet faded into history.
Take that.
Well, no, they named an entire knitting after him.
So once Economo's paper got around, people started noticing it all over the place, and it wasn't long until it was clear that there was an EL epidemic on the loose. Doctors were scrambling to try and put a stop to it, but had very little success. So here's how this disease generally shakes down. A person would get sick, then they would get better, and then a few months or years later, they would start to slow down. Sometimes they would freeze while walking or talking for a moment. Sometimes they would lose their ability to move certain parts of their body, and often they would stare off into space for way too long. This would typically be accompanied by a high fever, and as the symptoms slowly progressed over the years, the person would be able to move and talk less and less. Sometimes they would slow down to the point where their heart would stop. Sometimes they would pull out of it and get better and never have symptoms again. And sometimes they would turn into unblinking statues, staring silently out at the world for the rest of their lives.
Horrifying.
Yep. Occasionally they would muster the strength to flex their fingers or moan slightly, but that's about it.
How do you feel?
An improvement. So that is a little bit of background on encephalitis lethargica. Now we're going to get to our acid pop quiz. I don't have any true falses on here because since you guys don't know much about this, you'd just be guessing in the dark. Yep. How many people were affected by EL in the outbreak between 1916 and 1926?
10,000.
You said it was widespread, although some of it was PTSD. I'm going to have it. Let's go 5,000.
I'm going to guess more just because, you know, you have to break through a certain threshold before people start
just
to notice.
Just because you got
to
one-up me.
People have their pet projects.
I'm going to say 100,000.
So it's estimated that around 5 million people fell victim to EL at the time.
Oh, wow.
He said five, and I was like, yes!
It was an epidemic in five people.
I can't imagine how terrifying that would be.
Yeah.
Like, people are just turning into statues sometimes, and we don't know why or how to stop it.
Yeah.
People just stop moving, and then they die.
Something horrifying in Jesus.
It's not like you can hook them up to life support.
Well, you don't need to.
Well, if they're completely still, they're not eating.
Well, right? Yeah, you have to tube feed them, but I mean, other than that, as long as you keep putting food in them, they'll stay alive as a statue forever.
And nobody's ever choked on baby food.
As long as their heart doesn't randomly stop.
Yeah. So what percentage of people died of the disease?
Swelling of the brain is pretty serious.
Yeah, but sometimes it went away.
It's true.
We've established that you could feed them, so it would basically just be the heart stopping thing.
40%.
See, I was going to go with 42 because that was...
You guys always got one up me.
Okay, sorry. 39%.
Yeah, now you one downed me.
I think it's much lower. I'm going to say 7%.
Between 20 and 40% of people died of this disease.
Well, Adam was right on it.
Yeah, nailed it.
We were both right, Andy.
Yay.
And Kelly was wrong.
I'm always wrong.
It's the system that was wrong.
The system has failed you, Kelly.
So what caused this EL outbreak? Any guesses?
Bacteria.
No, I'm not going to say that. Fungus.
I'm gonna be dramatic. We don't know to this day.
Mystery caused it.
That's probably the closest answer. The thing is, we're not 100% sure. The most compelling theory right now is that an infection of Streptococcus triggered an overreactive immune response that damaged the brain. Though this has not been definitively proven. And no, since we're not sure what caused it, we don't have a super great plan should it happen again.
Streptococcus seems to cause a lot of shit.
Yeah, it can.
I mean, it's kind of the bowl in the china shop, wherever it shows up in your body.
I have strep brain.
Yeah. So we're on to our terms. What is L-Dopa?
It's a really cool Mexican wrestler.
I was going to say that's what you can buy from the dispensary.
Then say it.
It's what Dr. Icano called his balloon.
Finally, L-Dopa is here.
Yeah, L-Dopa, you bring the medicine.
Well, L-Dopa is short for levodopa, which is a drug used on Parkinson's patients that alleviates some symptoms of encephalitis lethargica. It was shown to be somewhat effective. However, the side effects of L-Dopa include nausea, hair loss, arrhythmia, intestinal bleeding, anxiety, excessive sexual urges, hallucinations, and psychosis.
He's described my whole life.
So, you know, you take your chances.
You'd be awake and miserable or in a coma.
Yeah. Yep.
You just got to fuck so much or you're going to be a statue.
It's a terrible pickup line. You need to understand, if we don't do this, I'll be a statue. Is this some sort of mannequin scenario?
So what is akinetic mutism?
Oh, I've heard this before.
Akinetic mutism is a mutant from the X-Men, like it's a mutant power from the X-Men that causes you to turn into a stone.
Yeah, he stops all movement. He gets rid of kineticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has something to do with not being able to talk.
You guys are dancing right around it.
Andy was dancing around it with his mutant theory?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that you can't speak and talk at the same time. I mean, I speak and talk. You can't walk and talk. You can't move and talk.
It's like the patting your belly and rubbing your head thing.
No, this is akinetic is without movement, and mutism is to not talk. So this is the inability to move or speak, which is a much better description of people suffering from EL. They aren't asleep, and from what we can tell, they aren't unaware.
Oh, God.
Ooh, no.
Terrible.
They are trapped in their own bodies, unable to interact with the world.
In that case, I'll take the L-Dopa.
Yeah.
All you're showing them is the movie Jack and Jill.
What about Lenona?
All these Mexican wrestlers.
Yeah.
Lenona was Leonidas' wife of the Brave 300.
Lenona is L-Dopa's main squeeze.
It's when they tag team.
Well, the first one was a drug, so maybe this is another drug.
When Von Economo started looking into this, one of the first people he talked to was his grandmother, and she recalled...
And her name was Lenona.
A very similar outbreak that happened in Italy in the 1890s. And the victims were called Lenona, which is a word that basically translates to the living dead.
Oh, terrible.
When he dug further, he found out that there was an outbreak of this more or less every 50 years for the last 300 years.
Okay. When did the last one happen?
1920s.
Okay, good.
So we're very far overdue.
It's even worse. Some sort of gypsy curse. Oh, sorry, Romani curse.
We have figured out a lot of sterilization and the like these days. Maybe we've gotten rid of the trigger.
Yeah,
so all the people who were trying to pass it
I like to be optimistic.
Sterilization is your optimistic viewpoint?
And that concludes our acid pop quiz.
We did good.
Yeah. So today, for our stories, we're going to run through these in reverse chronological order. And the first thing I wanted to talk about is why EL is making a bit of a resurgence right now. The last known living victim of EL, Philip Leather, died in 2002 after spending 70 years as a living statue.
No!
Yeah.
Kill me!
You can't say that. You gotta yell.
Okay, this is my living will.
His brain was donated so it could be examined, and Dr. John Oxford performed molecular analysis on it. This is where the strep theory came from, and it's a good theory, but there's not enough to stop another outbreak.
Oxford of the Oxford Oxfords?
Could be.
Lots of good names in this episode. Yeah.
We're going to get better ones, too. The last time before 2002 that EL got any attention was at the start of the career of the brilliant doctor named Oliver Sacks, which, if you don't know who that is, you should go out and read the first book you can find by Oliver Sacks, because everything he ever wrote is great.
They also all have great titles.
They do. The best one probably being The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. And this is actually where I learned about encephalitis lethargica, because they made a movie in the 1990s about Dr. Sacks' experience with these people, and it was called Awakenings with Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. That movie is tragic and uplifting, and it doesn't come anywhere close to capturing the horror that these people live through. Basically, what happened was Sacks went to work at a hospital that just happened to have the largest concentration of EL victims in the world. This was in the late 1960s, and most of the patients were gathering dust, having been forgotten about for more than 40 years.
In storage closets.
No. You gotta dust your patients at least twice a week.
Somebody slapped it off.
Sacks wasn't okay with that, so he started working with them and found that some of them could perform certain actions and communicate. When he heard about a new drug, L-Dopa, he decided to try it on his patients. But as we discussed, there were some less than ideal side effects of taking L-Dopa.
Some of them were going, okay.
Here's what happened with some of the experiences of those trials. And these are about certain patients, and the names have been changed here by Dr. Saxon, so I'm going to respect his wishes and use the made-up names, even though it's not too hard to track down the real ones. So our first story is about Magda B., and she was born in 1900s. She had a couple of daughters with her husband in her late teens, but she started showing signs of EL in 1919, and by 1923, she was more or less a statue. Unable to move or speak, she would occasionally jerk or moan, but that was about it. In 1969, 46 years after she became a statue, Sacks started her on L-Dopa, and Magda slowly began to be able to move.
What an experience that might be.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's conscious the whole time, wouldn't you just be like, kind of nutters after all that?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely would be. And L-Dopa doesn't help. So after a week, she was able to keep a diary. Her first entry said, "It is 20 years since I have written. I'm afraid I've almost forgotten how to write my name." In a month, she could walk and talk, and it was discovered that she was from Vienna and had an Austrian accent. And no one knew, because she'd never said anything up till that point. She laughed and chatted and reconnected with her daughters, and her daughters decided not to tell her that her husband had died 5 years before she woke up. Mm. And they kept making excuses for why he couldn't come and visit.
Oh, no, he's on the bus broke down.
Yeah, that was more or less it. Magnus started hearing her husband's voice and seeing his name written everywhere, and she became convinced that he was having an affair.
That's the curse.
In the light of this, her daughters decided to come clean, to which she responded, "Ack, you sillies, why didn't you tell me?"
That's much better.
Yeah. After which, she had no more delusional episodes. She stayed on L-Dopa for 2 years, and towards the end, her vision was starting to fade, and she developed a tic of touching anyone who walked past her. Yeah. In July 1971, she called her daughters and said, "Come and see me today. There will be no tomorrow."
Come and see me today. There will be no touching.
Her daughters rushed her and asked what was wrong, and she said she felt perfectly fine, but she knew that she was going to die that night. After her daughters left, she went around the hospital, shaking hands and saying warm goodbyes. She then went to bed and died in her sleep.
What?
Spooky.
You didn't mention that L-Dopa gives you psychic powers.
Yeah.
Well, in only 1% of patients.
Could she feel her brain swelling again?
Well, I don't know what it is. Like, I am not a medical professional, but the thing about this disease is it attacks the part of your brain that controls like small motor movements, and L-Dopa like starts things firing up again. And I don't even know, but as far as I could tell, just in my own crazy theories, L-Dopa plus encephalitis lethargica gives you much better access to your subconscious and all the things that you're not supposed to be able to control. Like, you shouldn't be able to stop your own heart beating, but with the help of L-Dopa, you gain a little bit of control over that muscle.
Thank you, L-Dopa.
Yeah. So if you decide that something is going to work or not work anymore, L-Dopa will help it do that, which is a very scary thing.
It's a bad superhero power.
Now watch me forcefully dilate my eyes. Too much, they folded in on themselves.
So Lucy Kay was a bit of a latecomer to the hospital that Sachs worked at. She was born in 1924, after most EL victims were already on their way to the hospital, and she started showing signs of EL at age 11, and she was bound to a wheelchair by age 27. She lived at home, and her mother took care of her until 1964, when she was brought to Sachs' hospital. Uh-huh. She was not as bad off as other patients. She could talk and move to a limited degree, and her mother, who had taken care of Lucy her entire life, was more than a little controlling and paranoid. Every day she would arrive at the hospital and do Lucy's makeup until she looked like a doll. Sachs also overheard her whispering to Lucy things like, "Don't speak, Lucy. Not a word. They're against you around here. Give nothing away. Nobody will hurt you. Trust me, Lucy. My baby. My little living doll. Nobody in the world could love you like me." So Sachs suggested L-Dopa to Lucy and her mother, but her mother refused. Lucy made it clear that she wanted to try by refusing to interact with her mother at all. Her mother eventually caved and let Lucy try L-Dopa. Lucy went for 4 weeks with no reaction at all, and then was suddenly found sitting up in bed waving her arms.
Slapping her mother.
Sachs examined her, and while doing so, he asked her if he could have her hand, to which Lucy emphatically replied, "Yes, yes, I'll give you my hand."
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
Sachs thought that was a bit odd, but later that day, Lucy ran up to him and said, "You asked for my hand. It's yours. I want you to marry me and take me away from this horrible place and promise that you'll never let her come near me ever again."
Turns out her mother was protecting the doctors.
So Sachs had to sit her down and tried to explain that he was just her doctor and that he wished her the best, but he was just her friend and nothing more. Lucy shouted that she hated him, and the next morning she was catatonic again.
Damn it.
They continued to increase her dosage of L-Dopa, but she seemed to overcome its effects through sheer willpower and hatred. Several weeks later, she closed her eyes with finality and died.
You need to stop giving this drug to such tragic patients.
Well, how can you know? It's just someone who's been sitting in a chair for 30 years.
Well, but you kind of know because her mom's making her up. It's like, "Oh, my little living doll."
Well, as soon as you wake them up, you have to give them some sort of like personality quiz and see how depressing they are.
Give them a primer on the world.
Yeah.
Look, I know you've been a living doll for like 30 years.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
When you say they're statue-like, are they stiff? Are they laying down? Can they be manipulated in, like, can you bend their arms?
Yeah. No, they basically stay in whatever position you put them. They're extraordinarily rigid.
Doctor, why are all these people placed like Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park when he has his shirt off?
So Gertie C. started to develop EL symptoms in her mid-30s. By the time she was 44, she was all but immobile and speechless. She was cared for by her husband and children for over 10 years, but she eventually found her way to Sachs' hospital.
Hopefully none of them referred to her as a doll when they brought her there.
None of them have been making her up like a geisha.
Yeah. In 1969, Sachs started her on L-Dopa, and she started to recover in less than a day. She continued to improve for a few weeks, but roughly a month later, she started to develop twitches and began gasping. L-Dopa was stopped for a few days to allow her system to clear out, and she was started on it again. Within 3 hours of taking her dose, she had wild hallucinations.
Weird.
She screamed at the sights of cars bearing down on her.
Oh.
She ran from floating heads with facial features popping in and out. And she wept in front of trees so beautiful that she couldn't help but cry. She was given no more L-Dopa, but continued to hallucinate nonstop for 3 weeks.
Oh, good.
Once the hallucinations had stopped, they tried a third time.
No, stop!
This time they got it right.
But this time, her arms began to dart about as if she were fighting mosquitoes. Side rails were installed on her bed because she was so restless, but despite this, she still managed to topple out of bed and broke both her hips.
Mm. Both of her hips?
Yep.
Does she just have one hip?
No, you have two sides.
So off L-Dopa and confined to her bed due to her broken hips, she lost 40 pounds and developed bed sores and continued to have hallucinations for another 5 months.
We told her to knock it off.
Look, doctor, she stopped with the hallucinations. Good. Give her some more dopa.
Surely that was a fluke.
Well, I mean, what's the alternative?
Yeah. So in time, she came to understand that the things she was seeing weren't real and began to allow herself to hallucinate between 8 and 10 p.m. She kept to this strict schedule, and if she had visitors at 8, she would explain to them that they needed to leave as it was time for her hallucination.
This is me time.
I thought she was going to say they need to leave because they weren't real.
But yeah, this is another example of someone who just like seems to gain control over things that they shouldn't be able to control.
Like hallucinations.
Yep.
I hope she got to pick at that point. I would go for the trees over the heads.
Hallucinations.
I can't imagine a tree so beautiful that I cry, but
I want to see it.
So they've all been women. Is this more prominent in women or just...
No, it's just coincidence. These next two are actually male. Okay. So Frank G. began to succumb to EL in his mid-30s. He didn't deteriorate as far as some. He could dress, wash, and feed himself, but he said very little and spent most of his time sitting in chairs and staring at walls.
My father, yes.
He was started on L-Dopa and almost immediately developed a tic of thrusting his tongue out of his mouth 15 times a minute.
Gene Simmons.
This continued for 2 days, but when Sachs recommended stopping his course of L-Dopa for a while, Frank said, "Don't. They'll stop by themselves." An hour later, they did, and he never had another tongue thrust.
Okay, then.
However, he developed other tics. He would scratch his cheeks so feverishly that it would bleed, and his sex drive was out of control. He constantly masturbated and exposed himself to other patients.
Constantly.
Yep. These outbursts got worse and worse, and when the hospital warned him that if he didn't stop, he would be transferred to a different hospital, he was terrified. In response, his eyes rolled back and his head rolled back, and he became stuck in that position and unresponsive to anyone.
Still masturbated, though.
He was tube-fed for 10 days before he came out of it, and when he did, he was like a different person. Oh. He shuffled around in a stupor, and he was always polite and quiet. He continued like this for several more months before dying in his sleep.
He was quietly rewiring his own brain.
Yeah.
Bizarre, like, wild reactions to this stuff.
Yeah, seriously, that's the weirdest, like, okay, dude, we're going to put you in one of the bad 1930s hospitals. Like, no!
Please, no!
I can change, just watch!
Yeah.
So this next one is probably the craziest one, and this is where most of the stuff from the movie came from. Leonard L. was another statue case unable to speak. The only way he had of interacting with the world was to tap his finger against something. Highly intelligent, Leonard communicated in Morse code. So, yep, you got it just right. He would read books propped in front of him, and others would come by and turn the pages. Leonard gave Sachs insight into what it was like to be someone with EL. He described it as, "I'm caged, deprived. This is a human zoo. This stupid body is a prison with windows but no doors." When he started in L-Dopa, he was a picture of joy. Able to read under his own power, he devoured books and cried with the pleasure of it.
I can finally flip my own pages. You guys only come by like every 30 minutes.
But as his course continued, Leonard began to turn dark. He said, "With L-Dopa in my blood, there's nothing in the world I can't do if I want. L-Dopa is power and irresistible force. L-Dopa is wanton, egotistical power. L-Dopa has given me the power I craved."
Oh, no.
So Leonard, among other things, wanted sex and requested the service of the nursing staff. When that was denied, he demanded a brothel service be set up for him.
Let's pump the brakes, Leo.
Go back to the books, please.
So he was plagued by visions of exotic demons and... Much like Gertie, he confined his hallucinations to the TV so that he could get away from them.
It's a pretty good place to put him.
Yeah, but it wasn't long before they escaped the TV and came for him again. His outburst became uncontrollable, and so he was confined to a small room. He became suicidally psychotic at this time. He imagined that there were torture implements just outside the door waiting for him, and that his insides were filled with ropes. He tried to castrate and suffocate himself, and was finally taken off L-Dopa. He soon returned to his catatonic state, only able to tap out to the world. He tried several more times to take L-Dopa, but it was a disaster each time. He finally said, "I thought I could make a life and a place for myself. I failed, and now I am content to be as I am. A little better, perhaps, but no more of all of that."
Yeah, when you become, like, L-Dopa's given me everything. Give me sex demons!
Yeah. He was well on his way to becoming a supervillain.
Well, all he had to do was release the demons from the television.
Maybe sex is what makes L-Dopa, like, work. And they tested it.
Yeah, they tested the brothel service.
Now, does it have the same effects? You said it was a Parkinson's drug.
Yeah.
It has the same effect in Parkinson's patients?
It does, and they actually still use L-Dopa today. But the thing is, these people need it a lot. Like, the effects get worse the higher you go, and the longer you're on it, the more you build up an immunity to it. So you just have to keep cranking the doses up and up. You don't need to take nearly so much to help with Parkinson's syndrome.
This is why Montel got real weird.
And that's what it was like in the late 60s when Oliver Sacks gave these victims a brief reprieve from their symptoms.
It seems so odd. Like, these people were statues for 30 years.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. At the time, Sacks was astonished over the fact that he'd never heard of EL and how hard he had to work to learn about it. So why was the disease all but forgotten? Well, towards the end of the epidemic, a wealthy entrepreneur named William John Matheson developed EL. He found almost no help from the medical community at the time, so he decided to form his own medical super team to conquer EL once and for all. He recruited all the top minds from around the world, and in a bold move at the time, he made a woman named Dr. Josephine Neal the head of research at the newly formed Matheson Commission. So no one really knew what caused EL, but the three largest suspects at the time were the flu, strep, and herpes. So the Matheson Commission was divided into three teams, each one tackling a separate cause.
Each with their own theme song.
Herpes yeah. team, you're with me.
Nobody wanted to be on herpes team.
However, the problem with recruiting all the top minds is you also recruit all the top egos. The scientists bickered constantly, and since everyone but Neil was male, they also decried working underneath a woman. Things were getting pretty heated as teams stole resources from each other and tried to get Neil fired.
I took all the Erlenmeyer flasks!
So that was going on, and then Matheson died of a heart attack in 1930. As the money stopped coming in, the scientists all packed up and left in a huff, and they all vowed to never work on EL again.
Jeez.
These are real good scientists. Great job, 1930 yeah. scientists.
Fuck those patients.
I'll show you.
You guys.
And by and large, that was the last time any significant work was done on EL, and everybody just kind of forgot about it. When Dr. Sacks found out about it, they didn't teach about it at all in medical school, and he had to go, like, digging back in the archives to find anything about it.
That sounds insane to me that all these scientists are, like, not paying me anymore. Well, fuck this.
Come on, yeah. science. You guys are supposed to be the good ones.
Once again, the heroic age of science as well.
Yep.
Well, you gotta eat.
Yeah, but you could find some, like, you could take all your research to another patron.
They were getting paid. They don't have to outdo each other.
Yeah.
I agree with that part.
That lousy woman put me on herpes team. How did she know?
It's like...
So we've talked about what happens to people who get EL in their late teens or older, but when kids come down with EL, it's a whole different story.
Is this about to get sad in a new way?
Yep.
EL Junior.
So with children, it seemed to radically alter their behavior. And what's worse, unlike true forms of psychosis, in most cases, the children seemed aware and horrified of the things that they were doing, but unable to stop.
Oh, good.
Some sort of demonic possession.
Yeah. Children would frequently smear the walls with their own feces. Some sexually assaulted their siblings. Others stuck their heads in fires.
Yeah, that's a pretty radical change of personality.
Yeah. One boy would crouch on all fours and hop up and down like a wind-up toy, his face twisted in a panic the entire time.
I was going to say, that sounds kind of whimsical until the whole face part.
Yeah. Another got a case of hiccups so bad, he died from it.
It happens.
Jesus. What happens? How does the last hiccup just evacuate everything out of your body?
No, it's your diaphragm goes insane.
Well, and also he couldn't sleep or eat.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would do it.
Yet another tried to bite the penis off of another child. They hung themselves, ran off roofs, and jumped off bridges, their eyes screaming for help as their bodies carried them away.
Oh, no.
But far and away, the worst case was a girl named Rosie.
The riveter. I can't stop riveting.
So Rosie was in her early teens when she started to develop EL symptoms. It started with more or less classic symptoms. Her limbs grew stiff and slow, she slept too long, and she had trouble sleeping. But at age 14 in 1928, she started to spiral out of control. She had been living at home, but her temper would flare and she would shout at people. More than a few times, she took off all of her clothes and attacked her mother. She threw tantrums and broke windows and then would fall into a trance asking why she did those things.
It's just weird that the clothes and then the attack.
Yeah. She took to locking herself in the bathroom, and on one of these occasions, she came out trailing blood.
Mm.
When her family investigated, they found that she had pulled out several of her teeth.
Ah!
They demanded to know what happened, and she calmly told them that she couldn't help but do it. By the time she had pulled out all but 9 of her teeth, her family decided to institutionalize her.
This is the extreme opposite of the people that were able to control things they shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
After 2 teeth?
Yeah.
Psychiatrist, probably.
Tie those hands down.
Yeah.
She had, I think you have 32 teeth, and they got all the way down to 9.
A dentist tried to save what was left of her teeth, but her mouth was so full of infection that they all had to be pulled out.
Oh.
Rosie seemed to be developing an infection in her right eye when they put her to bed one night, and several hours later, an attendant came in to check on Rosie and ran screaming from the room. Another nurse rushed in to find Rosie calmly sitting with her right hand holding her right eye.
Yeah.
The nurse asked what happened, and Rosie simply replied that it must have fallen out.
Yeah, it just came right out of there.
Those things just kind of fall out every once in a while.
Is she a pug?
Can't keep those dang things in there.
Several days later, Rosie was found in a bloody bed with no eyes left whatsoever.
Oh,
is she still alive?
Yeah. She again calmly replied that her other eye must have fallen out as well. And as the nurse scrambled desperately to find the eye among the sheets, Rosie shrugged and decided to help, blindly moving her hands around to try and find the eye.
What a good child.
Rosie never had a moment of panic or pain over her eyes. And after all that, they finally decided to start tying this girl down. So Rosie spent her nights strapped to her bed. But honestly, at that point, I don't know what more she could have done.
Right? Yeah.
Well, she still had a tongue.
Yeah.
There's plenty of fingers to get rid of.
Slice a nostril.
So over the next few months, Rosie's condition seemed to stabilize. She learned to read Braille and admitted that she had pulled out all of her eyes and teeth, though she never had strong feelings about it.
Eh.
After that, Rosie was transferred to another hospital, and there are no more records about what happened to her.
Crazy. I want to know what happened.
This is a horror movie in the making. I'm going to write it.
Yeah, I mean, like, at this point, and considering, like, you know, it wasn't modern times, like, I don't know how they didn't jump to, like, demonic possession.
Oh, I just came up with the next thing she started pulling off. It could have been fingernails.
There's plenty of hair.
She's sort of an interesting balance between the catatonic adults and the manic children who are fully conscious of what's going on, because she seems fully conscious, but she seems pretty chill about it.
Yeah, she doesn't much care.
They were in a panic.
If we don't know what causes this, like, how do we know that these kids who have very different, like, symptoms, how do we know they have the same thing?
Good question. We don't.
Oh, all right.
Do they have the same brain deterioration?
I don't know. I mean, they couldn't check at that time. But, I mean, they did have the same symptoms where they would slow down and their limbs would be stiff and they would have high fevers. And the symptoms were pretty typical in kids that they would just start to, like, lose control among all these other symptoms.
Mm.
They had the common symptoms, but then they each had their own unique symptoms on top of those.
I prefer to be a wind-up toy as opposed to plucking out my own eyes and just being like, well,
wind up toy
happens.
Of terror.
Yeah. And that was our final story.
All right, now personal EL stories.
Yeah.
Well, as you notice, I have no eyes.
I wanted to say something. As terrible as it is, I kind of want it to spring up again, like, and see what modern medicine would make of it.
Okay, you get to pick the area of the country.
You can have it. I'll pass.
If it's going to happen anyways, I will be very interested to see what the results are of them examining it.
If Adam gives this to me, I want to go on El Dopa, and if I see the sexy demons, you guys just leave the room.
Well, that brings us nicely to what are your morals worth? So, modern science has tracked down the source of encephalitis lethargica, but we still don't really know a lot about why it does what it does, though we have developed something of a cure. So, you're signing up for a research group. You're going to spend 1 year as a living statue, and at the end of that year, you will be cured. How much would I have to pay you to be on this research team?
No.
It's got to be a bunch. Like, is it a guaranteed cure at the end of the year?
Yep.
No.
Probably.
One of my grand, like, one of the, a recurring nightmare I have is getting, like, stuck in a tube and being unable to move.
Yeah.
And there's one of the things that are is most horrifying is waking up and having sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
No.
It's like that for a year.
Can we tap or anything? Is someone going to move pages on a book for us?
No, you're going to be in a hospital and there's going to be a TV on, but you're not going to have any control over what's on that TV.
You're going to be in a museum standing on a platform.
Does the television have sexy demons?
Yeah, you're not going to get any L-Dopa, so you're not going to get any hallucinations.
Look, if you put me in the same position for more than 5 hours, I'm going to get hallucinations.
Like I said earlier, like, I don't know how you come out of this thing like not just completely messed up.
Yeah, you're going to have to give me like $3 billion.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Being unable to move is one of my ultimate nightmares.
And the guaranteed cure is good, but I don't see coming out the other side not crazy. So I'm going to say 500 million.
Wow.
I feel like I could keep my brain together for a year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at retreating into my head. Sean, would you come visit me?
Yeah.
You talk to me?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, so Sean gets to read to you.
I smuggle in some books.
Why do you have to smuggle?
Still going
to
be high.
Yeah.
But no one's getting hurt.
Yep.
I get a nap.
I don't think you do. You don't get to sleep. That.
Well, you do sleep.
Oh, okay. I thought you said they didn't.
What was your price, Adam?
I said 500 million. Andy said 2 billion.
Three.
3 billion. Sorry. 3
billion. I'm going to say, I mean, it's got to be enough money to cover me for the rest of my life and allow me to do some good as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to say 20 million.
Yeah.
I could do a lot of good with 20 million.
I would rather run through a trench full of Black Widow spiders and landmines.
This isn't one of those situations where I say, like, oh, I just need, like, the equivalent of a year's salary to get me through this. Like, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be functional when I get out of this.
Well, maybe it's just me. I was a very boring child, and I had a reoccurring dream where in my dream, I was sitting in a chair in an infinite plane, and there was nothing but me in the chair, and the only rule of the dream was that I couldn't get out of the chair. And so I would just sit there just like, well.
Sean's in dream timeout.
Yep.
Were you at least in the exit row in the plane?
No, I was nowhere. I was just me in a chair. And I would just like, I'm like, man, this is pretty boring. And I would just wake up and be like, well, there's that dream again. So I think I'd probably be okay, especially if there was a TV on. Just, you know, just watch TV and zone out for a year. I don't think you'd actually have to pay me very much to do that.
But that's the thing is, like, I think I'd be okay, like, with some days, some weeks, but, like, a year is a pretty long time.
Yeah. And the caveat is it's always Fox News.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I would do it. Let's see. How many years would I have to be able to take off work to do this 1 year? Say 5? That sounds fair. So that would be, let's round up pretty generously, 500,000. Yep.
Yeah, boss, I need to take a leave of absence. I'm going to be a test patient. Testing a disease.
See in 6 years.
One thing I'm concerned about is pain, because like being physically still can be very painful.
I got a bony butt.
Yeah, that's true. I can't speak to that.
Oh, Sean's got that nice pillowy butt.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, I gotta take a bit of a break here and eat some candy. Hold on.
Good, because I kind of have to pee again.
Go for it. Now's the time. I'll give Sean and Kelly the play-by-play.
The pee-by-play.
Adam, what's happening now?
He's going into the bathroom. He's turning the light on. I can see shadows. Oh, the light's off. Oh, anything could be happening now. A shot rang out.